I'm Cameron Harold, the founder of the Second in Command podcast. Really quick, before we jump into today's episode, you need to know about two important ways that we can help you and your company grow. Number one, check out the COO Alliance. It's for COOs, presidents, VP ops, or whoever is your company's second in command to the CEO. The COO Alliance is the world's leading community for the second in command, and it gives COOs the tools and connections to grow themselves and the company. Head over to COOalliance.com to learn more about our members and the results, the program, and our 10x guarantee. If you qualify for membership, you can set up a complimentary call with our team to discuss if it's right for you. I'll tell you about number two in a bit, but first, let's start this week's episode. I always try to appeal to what really matters to the CEO. Our job is to make them look good. Our job is to help them make their dreams happen or make their vivid vision come true. So you need to show them that what they're doing with being so controlling is hurting them. You just say, you can do it, but it's kind of like the emperor's new suit. You know, the emperor who's getting this fancy clothing made and the tailor's telling them they look perfect. Meanwhile, we know that there's no suit at all. We know they're naked. Someone needs to tell them that they're naked.
Welcome to the Second in Command podcast, produced by the COO Alliance and brought to you by its founder, Cameron Harold. In the Second in Command podcast, we talk to top COOs who share the insights, strategies, and tactics that made them the chief behind the chief. And now, here's your host, Cameron Harold.
I started an organization around 7 years ago called the COO Alliance. And the reason I started it was I'd played the second in command role a number of different times for a bunch of different companies. And I kept showing up at events that were meant for entrepreneurs, trying to learn, trying to build my connections, build my confidence, kind of shed some of that imposter syndrome, trying to build my network. And I didn't fit in. And it was almost, I thought about it, it was almost like a guy showing up at a baby shower or a bachelorette party. Like, we just don't fit. We're not supposed to be there. You know, as much as it's like 2023, guys just don't belong in the room, or it's like a woman showing up at a stag or a bachelor party. It's nice to have you, but you don't really. So I didn't fit in the room for entrepreneurs, but there was nowhere for me to go. So we started this organization off as a global community of second in commands to be able to learn from each other, share resources with each other, grow their connections, grow their confidence. And there's no entrepreneurs in the room to take over the conversation. The COO has to be the leash to the dragon, or we need to be the brakes to the entrepreneur's gas, but we can't kind of come to a screeching halt, right? So yeah, we definitely need to tame them, but we can't take away all of their craziness because that's what makes them so unique, right? We can't get rid of their bipolar. We can't get rid of their ADD. Those are superpowers for them, actually, but we need to understand how to save them from themselves too.
Exactly. Very so true. Going totally off piste on our first question, because I'm hoping, Cameron, you might be able to answer one that we struggle with every single time, which is the controlling CEO. And how do you let go? How do you convince them to let go of some power?
And I love that you just said off piste. I just came back from some of the best off piste skiing of my life over in Japan. I was skiing the best powder skiing of my life. It was incredible. Off piste, eventually, nice. Doesn't ski means kind of skiing in the trees or skiing in the bowls. So how do you control the controlling CEO? I always try to appeal to what really matters to the CEO, right? Our job is to make them look good. Our job is to help them make their dreams happen or make their vivid vision come true. So you need to show them that what they're doing with being so controlling is hurting them. You just say, you can do it, but it's kind of like the emperor's new suit. You know, the emperor who's getting this fancy clothing made and the tailor's telling them they look perfect. Meanwhile, we know that there's no suit at all. We know they're naked. Someone needs to tell them that they're naked. Someone needs to tell the CEO that although they think they're looking good, although they think that they're doing the right thing, they're only hurting themselves. So they can choose to stay controlling, and you're going to tell them that it's not working. And I think if you appeal to their sense of greed, their need for profit, their need for praise, their need to avoid conflict, you show them that all of those things that they're doing are just hurting themselves, they'll usually be open to hear that, especially if you do it privately one-on-one. If you ever tell a CEO what they're doing wrong in front of the board, in front of the leadership team, in front of other employees, you're dead to the water because they're going to defend their space. They're going to protect themselves. But if you do it privately, and I always say, hey, can we go for a quick walk, or can we go grab a quick coffee? Or I just want to tell you something I'm noticing, and I think it's hurting you and your company. I think it's hurting your profitability. I think it's hurting the way that people see you. And it's hard for me to tell you, but can I tell you? They'll be like, yeah, because no one ever tells me the truth.
It's interesting. So I do it in a slightly different way, in that I tend to wait and hold my conversation until I notice that they're ready for it.
And yeah, then, and the learner controls the environment, right? If they're not ready to learn, so that's kind of waiting for them to trip and fall. Once they trip and, like, if you notice their shoes are untied and you're going to tell them to tie their shoes, but they're stubborn, they're not going to listen. But when they trip over their own shoelace, then they might listen to you. I find that that's good in the early days of being their second in command, maybe for the first 3 or 6 months. But at some point, we've built enough trust that you can actually lean on all of that trust. You can lean on the fact that you've been able to help them this far. So it's easier to have the tougher conversations when you've built that foundation already.
You've been listening to Second in Command, brought to you by COO Alliance founder Cameron Harold. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to like, share, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and our other podcast streaming platforms. For more best practices from industry-leading COOs, visit COOalliance.com.